Welcome back to WNGS Radio. I am your host, Dion DeGennaro, and I am still sitting here with Ken Butcher, co-founder of Northern Guard Supporters. And now we're going to be talking about our favorite, least favorite topic, which is MLS to Detroit, MLS X Detroit, whatever you want to call it. That's what we're going to be talking about. Ken, I know you have a long and storied history with MLS in Detroit.
I do.
And I think you know pretty much everything I know about it, too, and have some background in it and have kind of been involved in paying attention since all the way back in 1993.
Yeah.
When the first rumors of Detroit getting an MLS team started. Are you excited to talk about this?
I will keep my try to curb my giggling. Yeah, I can't make any promises though. Yeah, I mean, I've been hearing about the savior,
the fabled bid, the mythical bid.
The phoenix rising from the ashes of MLS soccer in Detroit.
It's gonna save it. It's gonna save us.
It's gonna revamp the community. It's going to create jobs and tax revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, that's just, it's...
Do you know the economic impact a fifth stadium would have?
I do. I do. Because I know smarter people than me that know it. So, yeah, let's
venture down this rabbit hole together. So, Ken.
Yes.
Did you know that the MLS bid... or the rumors of MLS coming to Detroit started all the way back in 1993. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so actually this is from MLSsoccer.com. It was a guy who checked out the Silver Dome in its current state. He went... urban exploring, which is gentrified for breaking and entering, checked out the inside of the Silver Dome and the condition it was in, because it has obviously a storied history. We talked about in episode 4 how the World Cup was played there. It had games there. And so there is a storied soccer history at the Silver Dome. And it doesn't end with the World Cup. It's actually just the beginning of its history with soccer, which we'll get into. But in this guy who checked out the Silver Dome went in when it was, you know, falling apart, the roof. And looking at these pictures, the roof had already caved in. There was grass growing through the turf, and there was grass growing in the VIP suites,
black
and the carpet
mold.
And black mold and all that good stuff. So he notes, in a VIP area on the club level of the stadium, he spotted a carton of pamphlets, and they were all emblazoned with the MLS logo. And here's my favorite part. It was a sales pitch for the league made in 1993, and it encouraged potential ticket buyers in potential major MLS cities to send in a $75 deposit for season tickets. This pamphlet also suggested that the number of deposits received per city could play a key role, in quotations, in determining which cities the league awarded teams to in May 1994. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does. That's what
it's kind of been
the,
their
the
MO.
More friends you bring with you, the more potential you're going to have, right?
If there's support, you might get a team.
It sounds very Amway-ish. Amway-ish. Yes.
Well, not only does it sound like a pyramid scheme, but that's kind of what MLS in 2017 sounds like too. Like,
True. Show
there's a demand, we're going to get people involved, and then so in this pamphlet, and this logo, this MLS logo even predates the like green and blue version. It's like a red, white, and blue
America.
Like clip art soccer ball and cleat hitting it. It's like the pre MLS logo. And then in this pamphlet, it also lists
potential
cities.
Yes.
And I'll quickly read them off, and you guys can figure out if they've met their demographics here. We've got Albuquerque.
Beautiful area.
Known for their soccer.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Austin. Topical.
Very topical.
Boston, which I think really could care less about soccer. Buffalo, big market.
Huge.
Charlotte. Chicago. Cincinnati, another topical.
Yeah.
Cleveland. Columbus. Mm. Dallas. Denver. Detroit.
Of course.
Houston. Indianapolis. Kansas City. Las Vegas. Long Island.
Long Island.
Long Island is a potential MLS city.
Yes.
Los Angeles. Louisville. Memphis. Miami / Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee. Okay.
Yeah.
Minneapolis. Nashville. New Orleans. New York / New Jersey. It's which one. Is, that's one. One which bullet.
Is totally different than Long Island.
Totally different than Long Island. Yeah. Long Island. Orange County, California. Orlando, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Pittsburgh, Raleigh, Durham,
Raleigh.
I don't know Raleigh. Sacramento, Salt Lake City, San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose, Seattle, St. Louis, Tampa, Tulsa, and Washington, D.C. So those are the potential hopeful cities that before MLS was even a sanctioned formed league, this is where they wanted to go.
I wonder, I mean, I'm sure it was somebody's half-assed job to come up with this list, but I wonder if this is literally just, you know, X cities with X population.
They just looked. Checked media just, markets like, and population.
Yeah, just checked all the boxes on that. Because, you know, I mean, if you look at that, that's just every major city.
Every major city, and then also some, like, weird cities, like...
I mean, the only ones that... I mean, obviously someone is going to correct me, but, like, you know, obviously Portland's not on there.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, you've got just every box checked. I mean, you've got, you know, major areas, major urban areas, you know, you got the remotes in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be...
I'm actually surprised, like, Sacramento's on there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when these guys probably made these lists, I mean, it's probably in line with the thinking that they still have right now.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, let's look at the areas and how many Hispanics are in this area. And, you know, like, what's the brown people count there? You know, so I'm sure that a lot of it has... a lot to do with the way they still operate now.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they've, based on their, you know, pre-order an MLS team, essentially.
Yeah.
If enough people pre-order you, maybe you'll get a team.
Yeah, medium markets.
Yeah.
Albuquerque, though. God, I mean, imagine a kit with, like, some turquoise in it.
Turquoise do like an Area 51 alien New Mexico kind of theme.
Oh my God. My mind is a flutter with possibilities at this moment.
MLS to Roswell. So that's kind of the beginning of the MLS to Detroit, not only because it's in this pamphlet, but they hosted a World Cup and they had I think their attendance there was like crazy, if I recall correctly. I don't know. I didn't look up the numbers and see what the attendance was.
Well, I mean, I know just from being at the World Cup in 94, the Silverdome held 80,000. They did not seat the Upper Bowl at all.
Okay.
So, I mean, just deduct whatever that number is, and I'm sure somebody can look up what the number was for all the games, but... yeah,
there's still a ton of people to go to a soccer game in Detroit.
For soccer in Detroit in the 90s, yeah, absolutely.
So, definitely they were like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, the only people that were in the Upper Bowl of the Silverdome, and this is an actual true fucking story, were snipers. They had, like, probably every fourth or fifth section was a dude just standing there with a sniper rifle.
Just in case.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just in case those... soccer rowdies got a little bit too...
those crazy hooligans.
Yeah, Jesus.
So, that brings us There's probably some history between 93, 94, and 2010, but I don't really know it. I couldn't find anything quickly about it, if there was any room. I don't think enough people gave a shit, honestly, to even report on if the team may have been coming here at that point.
Well, I mean, you know, with this list of teams, I mean, in, with the original ones that rolled out, you kind of wonder, like, you know, I mean, obviously the New York, New Jersey, I mean, that came true. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a bunch on this list that panned out, and they do have teams in that market.
I mean, some went defunct and got renamed and whatever the case may be. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, some people sent in $75. I mean, you know, compound over X amount of years and $120 to grow the game, the hashtag beautiful game. So good for them, you know?
Yeah.
Good for those concerned citizens.
So here we are now, 6 years later, 7 years later, 2010.
Right.
Silverdome was sold to a property management investment company out of Toronto called Triple Properties.
Trips.
Owned by a Greek family. And they purchased the Silverdome for literally a fraction, fractions upon fractions of the cost of what it took to build it. They purchased it for $583,000 at auction, I believe, like a closed envelope auction. So that was the highest bid for this huge municipal stadium. And they had a vision. They had a dream. And what was their dream?
In reality, their dream was parking lots.
Yeah, well, that's what they were. That's what they were known for sure. Yeah,
they are parking lot mavens. Yes. Yeah, I mean, obviously being in my hometown and watching this story from the get-go, I mean, once the Lions left, essentially the city of Pontiac took over ownership of the Silverdome. And to keep the lights on and keep the dome inflated, from what I just remember off the top of my head, I mean, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars a month to...
Millions a year.
Yeah, millions a year to keep it
to
up and running.
To a city that did not have the money to maintain
No, I mean, you're talking, you know, GM left, Jobs left, the entire community flipped, and, you know, that the tax revenue left the city of Pontiac, and it became more or less what it is right now. And, you know, the city had tried multiple times to unload the property, and, you know, the cost and inefficiency of owning that debacle by doing silly things inside of it.
Yeah.
You know, so
monster truck shows,
things of that nature. You could actually, there were certain days and times you could go and you can rollerblade.
I didn't know that.
In the Silverdome. Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
You lace them up and you get in there. You whip around. There's also a small moment of time where it was a drive-in movie theater, the parking lot.
I did know that.
Yeah. The screens, you can still see them. They're still sitting out there.
They're still standing. Are they standing up still? Or are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. They needed to dump it. So
yeah,
they dumped
I mean,
it.
Pontiac was one of the first areas that brought in an emergency manager for the city and the state of Michigan. That, you know, you saw that happen in Detroit and some other communities as well, but I think Pontiac was one of the first ones that got it. Assigned by Snyder and to go in and kind of get their stuff and their poop in a group, because, you know, it was a debacle.
Yeah.
You know, they needed to, this thing was a drain. The Silverdome was a drain. So,
so they sold it at the end of the day.
I want to say it's over 100 acres too.
Yeah. It's a huge parcel of land.
Yeah. Cause it's not just a stadium and the parking lots are surrounded. It's the, across the street, it's another parking structure.
Yeah, they have both sites.
Yeah. So it's 100 acres.
It's huge. It's a huge property. So Triple Properties purchased the Silverdome and the land for next to nothing, for what is essentially a good size house. Yeah. $583,000.
$50 an acre.
Yeah, like insane real estate deal. And so this Triple Properties initially had the idea of bringing an MLS team to Detroit via the Silverdome. And they had kind of an outlandish idea, proposal to bring about bringing an MLS team here, because honestly, in an 80,000 seat stadium, it's going to be cavernous. It's going to be empty. So what did they propose?
They essentially wanted to turn it into Noah's Ark.
they planned on splitting the Silver Dome in half horizontally.
Horizontally, yes.
So there would be an upstairs field and arena, if I remember correctly.
Yep, an open air upstairs.
Like the seat of like 20 or 30,000 people or something like that.
Yep.
And then underneath that, there would be what?
It was a 20,000 seat, I think, concert venue.
Because why? They have the space.
Right.
Why
not? Because it's there. Yeah. So it was a 20,000 seat concert venue separated to a basketball arena was going to be on the other side. So I was going to see
like what, like a half court or like a full?
A full, yeah. They wanted to see 20,000 people
on one side.
Yeah, on half of
it. I guess it would be like a quarter of it.
Right.
And then the other half was a concert venue.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can find the image on Google if you want a good laugh.
If you Google like Detroit MLS, it'll pop up on there. Yeah, I've seen it and it is just absurd. Like, I can't even believe anyone took that seriously.
Yeah, let's not talk about engineering or let's not talk about, like, what would actually happen if you tried to do that just from a structural standpoint to a stadium that was not built initially that way.
Yeah.
To try to retrofit the weight of, I mean, let's talk, you know, hundreds of tons of weight to just basically suspend
over a concert venue
over
and
a concert
basketball
venue in a basketball arena. I mean, that's no big deal, right? You can probably do that with some tension rods.
Right. Well, I mean, they only paid $500,000, so they've got a ton of money left to, you know, engineer that. They no problems there.
I do think it's funny that the seats on the soccer part of it is this a DFC on them,
like in the rendering.
Yeah, yeah. The rendering has red letters. And the
Detroit
seats,
FC,
and it just says DFC. So I mean, it can
and
be
this
so
this
many
predates
things.
Detroit City FC.
It does, yeah, by a bit, yeah.
And then I actually have like one of the first articles from MLive, and Steve Apostolopoulos.
Yep, Steve Apostolopoulos. He's a fun follow on Twitter.
He's a great follow on Twitter. He's quoted as saying, "We would like to create something big here in Pontiac," said Steve Apostolopoulos, the director of sports at the Silverdome and son of Andreas, who is the president of Triple Properties, if I recall. It's his dad.
His dad, yeah.
We have the land and we have a great opportunity and we want to do something that's beneficial to the area. That's his words. So what ended up happening with that MLS bid?
Well, I mean, it got a Facebook page.
They got 20,000 likes.
20,000 likes.
In like 3 days.
And it was celebrated every time it hit a new landmark. And there was pre-designed graphic to celebrate it. So what really happened and was, I mean, I think they spent probably a couple grand on, or got some poor schlep of a intern to manage this thing for him. And they went
I just
out.
Want to imagine that it was Steve.
Yeah, I mean, or Steve. With his, you know, elaborate suits and
watches.
Watches and his Ferraris. You never know. He could have been clicking away at it in his spare time between bubble baths and champagne rooms. But, I mean, you know, essentially, I mean, They bought likes. They, they went through and just basically just acted as if this was going to happen. If they
were pretending like there was a demand for it.
Yep.
To make their bid look more favorable.
And brought in, to try to stabilize and try to give some name recognition and some meaning to the bid. They brought in a soccer promoter who worked with the MLS bid and who fancies himself a Garber lapdog, and claims to be well connected and well versed, and you know, knows everything and about soccer.
This is an individual that is well known within the soccer community in Detroit.
Well known, and brought him in, and I don't know, probably bought him a nice ribeye to endorse him and do a couple articles with, you know, whoever would listen, to try to give this whole thing meaning and footing. And it worked. I mean, there's a couple articles out there, you know, with all this stuff on it. And, you know, and they had a supporter group too, which is cool for a non-existent team.
So a year later, when they bought it was 2010, a year, when they bought it, they mentioned their intentions to try to bring an MLS team here. So in 2011, they submitted an application to the league to be, I believe, the 20th team in the league.
Yeah.
And that's when they released their renderings. and what it would look like. And in that time, they had a, quote, match of the Titans at the Silver Dome, was AC Milan versus Panathinaikos.
Did you go to that?
I did not go. I wanted to. I'm an AC Milan fan, so I did want to go to it. I didn't end up going.
I was there.
How was it?
So, obviously, the Silver Dome had sat dormant for so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could tell,
like, years at this point.
Yeah, and they hodgepodged a basically a staff to work that game. So I don't know where they hired these people from, and you know, to do a limited amount of you know, concessions and things of that nature.
They had like one every four stands open, or something like that.
Exactly. And so if you went to it, you you had your ticket, you walked up to the top of the stairs, you know, where you walked down the Silver Dome to go to your seat. And there was ushers everywhere, and they had huge beach towels thrown over each shoulder. So you handed your ticket to the gentleman, he walked you down to your seat and proceeded to use said beach towel to take off the quarter inch of dust.
Off the seat.
Off of your seat.
Because it had sat unused and empty. Sat
unused. So, like, whatever was in that air, or, you know, the asbestos-filled whatever that was on your seat was just reintroduced back into the air by this guy, you know, flopping a beach towel around. And, I mean, it was so interesting to be in there because, I mean, I honestly felt like I was transported back in time, because you looked at the scoreboard and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it was. I went to, there was a tournament there where, like, River Plate and Pumas played like a friendly, and that was like the last thing that was there before it was done. Yeah. And I did go to that, and yeah, like it was literally like going back in time, like 20 years.
Yeah, it was so
crazy,
so bizarre,
so weird.
I mean, like, nobody thought to like plug up a hose and just like rent a power washer, just like
blow shit off,
or a leaf blower. I mean, have some forethought, for crying out loud. People pay decent money to watch your shit expedition game, and you know, your answer to keeping everybody happy was a beach towel on some guy who
as knew, they take you to your seat,
and the guy knew he was only working that night. So yeah, I just remember the guys I was there with, we were dying laughing.
It's ridiculous. So in this article from 2011, this is again quoting the Apostolopoulos's. We have the renderings nearly complete, and I cannot wait for the fans to see what this stadium will look like. MLS has been amazed with the plans we have shown them.
Amazed.
They also say the construction to pull off this renovation, which will employ as many as 2,500 workers, can be completed very quickly because of the unique arrangement. Quote, the good thing about these renovations is that 99% of the construction can be done under the dome. So you could have two or three shifts and have construction running 24 hours a day without any weather issues. So if we get approved, things can move very fast. The bones of this building are in amazing shape, which bodes well for the transformation, which could be completed in less than a year. Yes, splitting the Silver Dome in half horizontally and building two arenas in a concert venue can be completed in less than a year.
Done.
Finally, he says, we are definitely in the top tier of potential MLS expansion cities, and the league is very engaged with what is going on in Detroit. U.S. soccer is involved, and the Gold Cup is very good for Detroit. Now, this is the same year that the Gold Cup games happened at Ford Field.
Oh, okay.
So that's what he's referring to.
Yeah, so.
And there's some history about that. I don't want to go into that because that's another half-hour conversation. Right. But one of Northern Guard's first outings was at the Gold Cup, and there was some issues.
Some shenanigans.
If you guys are interested in knowing what that is, we can talk about that another time, but we won't go into that. So, that aside, they're talking some big game.
Yep.
Everyone's on their side. Everyone's, you know, really interested in it. They can do it in less than a year. What ends up happening with that? They get denied a spot. And if I recall correctly, it's because the MLS did not want any more suburban stadiums. They wanted only downtown venues.
They wanted downtown venues. And that's, at least from my recollection, the first time that the soccer-specific stadium
term started. Yeah, I think you're right.
There was, you know, there was a lot of, you know, that's, to my knowledge, and I mean, I could be completely wrong, that was the first time I heard it.
Yeah, I had been following along pretty closely at that point in my life, too, and I don't recall that term again after that.
So a soccer stadium sitting up on 2x4s with a false floor is not a soccer-specific stadium in their mind.
Apparently. No.
That's sad.
Yeah. So there's a little hiatus there. And
the good old days. The hiatus days.
The hiatus days of any MLS to Detroit rumors. They got laughed off. There was nothing going on. Then a couple years later, 2013, I believe it was, there was the fail jail site. And this dates back to 2013. Contrary to popular belief, proposals for development of that site did not begin last year in 2016. It dates back to 2013. No, and it was not Gilbert.
It was
Triple Properties again.
Yep.
And Triple Properties proposed at the failed jail site a $1 billion plan to bring an MLS stadium, a mall, and condos on that jail site. Does that sound familiar?
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Does it sound identical to what Gilbert proposed 3 years later?
Now that you bring it up, Dion, it does. I mean, a lot less parking structures, though.
Because the Triple Property is not involved in now. But they
love stowing cars and charging for that.
So 2013. If I recall correctly, the county sent out an RFP, a request for proposals, for different developers to give their ideas on what they wanted to do with the jail site. And if I recall correctly, after that RFP was finalized, there's an end date on those, like a deadline. There was only two proposals that were at play. One proposal was Triple Properties' $1 billion MLS stadium plan that, at the time, pretty much every single person laughed at and did not take seriously and was like, we don't really need another sports team in Detroit, and we don't need this developer that has a track record of buying historic land and turning it into parking garages. No one really took them seriously. And the other proposal was Dan Gilbert. And what Dan Gilbert had proposed was a $500 million retail office space skyscraper plan. At the end of the day, both proposals were turned down. The county continued paying millions of dollars a year on maintaining a failed jail site, and nothing ultimately came of that. But it's important to note because of what happens later on. So, the following year, in 2014, we have Dan Duggan. Dan Duggan is the owner of the Michigan Bucks.
Yeah, he is.
He's been in the soccer business in Michigan for 2 decades, somewhere near there.
Yeah, because he's the one that moved the team, right?
So he moved it from the mid-Michigan Bucks to Pontiac in the Tin Can, Ultimate Soccer. And, of course, my article is not loading now, but...
Oh, you know it word for word.
Dan Duggan proposed that he would build a 5,000-seat soccer-specific stadium to bring a USL pro team. At the time, that's what USL was called before they rebranded to just USL. They were USL Pro. He wanted to bring a USL pro team to Detroit, where he would build a soccer-specific stadium in 4 months' time, and was hoping that after he built the stadium and made this team, that they would get absorbed by MLS. Quote. We pretty much all laughed at him and Northern Guard, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And he actually did, they did a like online Q&A.
Yeah.
And
which was amazing.
It was amazing. And we had a bunch of people kind of crash that and ask him questions. And it was very obvious that they didn't know what they were talking about and were not prepared for people asking, you know, hard-hitting questions about construction deadlines and feasibility and
permits and
and like how are you going to build something in Detroit in 4 months? Like getting anything done in Detroit, there's a ton of hoops to jump through. And we also called into question his political connections. Yeah. To his brother.
That's a pretty big thing.
Who's the mayor of Detroit.
The mayor of Detroit.
So an owner of a soccer team, was he going to, you know, pull some strings and work some connections with his brother, who is the mayor of Detroit at the time?
Just greenlight the whole thing through.
Greenlight the whole process. So at the end of the day, there was, I believe, a deadline in like August of 2014. And they said, oh, we're going to announce stuff then. And then nothing happened. And then I think I remember like a month later, he's like, oh, no, we went to Brazil. We're working out financing and blah, blah, blah. And then nothing happened. So another failed attempt to bring pro soccer to us peasants in Detroit. You know, no one seems to get it done, right?
And I mean, you know, to be fair to Duggan and his organization, that's really the only foul he's ever made.
Oh, yeah. No, like, they're, you know? They're great at what they do.
Tremendous at what they do. I mean, I would, you know, we beat them once. But, I mean, they are as consistent of a team as you can find in the PDL ranks, you know, consistently at the top and you know, always challenging for a championship. I don't know how many they have now. I think it's three.
It's just probably more than that.
Fletcher will probably yell at me about it. But, I mean, he's got a lot, you know, more than I do. And then, you know, with the fact that he's in the PDL, PDL is linked to the USL, and USL, everybody knows, is linked to the MLS. So, I mean, he's kind of, you know, he's the little brother in that whole diagram, but he's really the only one that's putting out a consistent product, at least on the field every single year.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as far as him setting sights on something bigger than what he can actually do, this has kind of been his biggest folly, I guess you will, is to stepping into the limelight and, you know, attaching his name to something that was just an absolute, you know, fart in the wind.
Yeah. And one thing that always, like, blows my mind about any of these bids is it always seems like we're the only ones being critical and questioning the intentions, the motives, the feasibility. No, like kind of like we're the only ones taking it seriously.
Right.
Everyone else just reports on it like, oh, yeah, it's going to happen. This is what they say, and we're not going to question it, and that's it. Like, we're just going to report on what they want and not be journalists and really get to the crux of the issues. It's really frustrating.
I mean, because at its core, what you're dealing with is you're dealing with the fifth sport, you know, in the area. And I mean, you know, to be completely honest, I mean, you know, you've got, you know, football in the state, which is packing in how much into the Big House and how many at Spartan Stadium and how many at Lions Stadium. And then you've got, you know, our other three major sports. I mean, I don't think the sports media in Detroit until really Detroit City came around and proved that it was a viable option for people to watch, and it was entertaining for people to watch that anything was ever going to come, you know, of these things. It was like, it was more of, okay, we'll do the story. We'll have a reporter, you know,
give them the PR that their person called us about.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting story, Al. I mean, we'll float it out on, you know, whatever, on the internet and page 18 of the sports page.
Yeah.
You know, behind women's NBA. And, you know, there's just not, nobody, I don't think, from at least a journalistic standpoint, does anything about anything. Why write a question piece and why write what are the intentions here?
Yeah.
If, I mean, nobody really kind of, you know, is going to give any sort of street cred to it
or
like really believe these stories. It wasn't until, you know, the Gilbert Gores connection, you know, that anybody really kind of went, all right, let's put a major writer on this.
Yeah.
You know, because if you track back into all these stories, I mean, no disrespect to anybody, but they're not putting their superstars on these stories. These are guys that write things as passion pieces. Yeah. They're passion writers. Soccer is a passion for them. You know, we can get him to do it because, you know, what else is he doing kind of thing. And, you know, until you put the billionaires behind it, nothing really had any traction.
So that brings us
to the big tamale.
To the big tamale.
To the shit show.
April 27th, 2016. This fucking infuriated me, too. I remember when this came out, and actually it was the day before. It was April 26th. Dan Gilbert tweeted.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Quote, "Hey, Tom Gores, you know what's great about sports? One moment you're rivals, and the next day you can be rooting for the same team." Tom Gores replies, "You're right, Cavs Dan. Let's, quote, kick around some ideas and try to make something happen."
So that's pandering.
That's the lead up to the undisclosed press conference that was hidden from the public to the point that people working at it had to sign NDAs that they would not give information about when and where it was happening before the day of the actual event.
Yeah, I mean, I can just picture how this all started. I mean, you know, in my mind, these guys are, you know, they've got their squads or their, you know, their legions of yes men around them. And I mean, they're probably at a private airport somewhere waiting for their stuff to be gassed up before they go back to their respective homes outside of the state of Michigan. And, you know, they just kind of, you know, they giggle and, you know, and they, this is kind of like the end result.
It's like a billionaire inside joke.
Yeah, literally they're sitting out in a tarmac somewhere and, you know, I mean, I don't know who probably, you know, swatted the other one on a tush first, but I mean, this is the end result of all that kind of, you know, broism. And I mean, geez, I mean, take something that a lot of people are passionate and love and just turn it into a Twitter bantered joke. And, you know, and at that point, I mean, we're what, 2 years in, you know?
Yeah.
We're 2 years in. I mean, we're out there busting ass and getting national recognition. And then, you know,
actually at this point we're like 4 years in. Yeah.
So, you know, we've made a name for ourselves.
Yeah, and, oh yeah. You know, people have started to hear about us.
Yeah, people have started to hear
and about actually, us. I'm looking at this article from Cranes, and it says, we're actually, the owners are quoted in it. So we're at this point important enough that, you know, the opinion in a statement from our owners is asked about, you know, what's going on, and how they feel about it. So what is the 2016 billionaire, Palooza MLS, proposal?
Detroit Soccer's Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Detroit Soccer's Pearl Harbor. Okay. It is a $1 billion plan to bring an MLS stadium, retail, and condos and apartments to the failed jail site. What does that sound like?
I mean, it sounds a lot like the APOPs.
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah. Like, almost identical. It's the same 25,000-seat stadium that was proposed.
Not too big, not too small.
Perfect size. Yeah, it pretty much just seems like they straight up stole their idea and were like, oh, well, now we're two credible billionaires, and so take us seriously.
Yeah, please take us seriously, because if you take us seriously in the fact that we want to be invested in a sport that we've never given a damn about, then maybe we can acquire the key piece of Detroit monopoly, which is the entranceway into Detroit.
The last remaining parcel of land in downtown.
The keystone,
yeah,
if you will, of making a great entrance into our kingdom.
Yeah. I'm kind of on the same page, and people who follow me or people who know me, hear me talk, whatever, I from day one have felt that the 2016 MLS bid was a tactic used by Gilbert to gain public support, to strong-arm the county, to get people to take him seriously, to buy a parcel of land he had been trying to buy since 2010. And what better way to do that than to dangle the fruit of a sports team in Detroit? We're sports fanatics here. I think it's fucking brilliant. Like, it's, if you look back, all of his real estate proposals, his renderings, his, all of his plans for this site barely blipped the radar on coverage in the media. Unless you really gave a shit about Detroit real estate, you had no idea that Gilbert wanted this piece of land. All of a sudden, he proposes to bring MLS to Detroit. He's getting stories in Wall Street Journal. He's getting stories in every major media publication, whether it's local, Sports Illustrated's reporting on it. There's I'm looking on Twitter. There's, you know, Italian media reporting on, you know, oh, they want to buy this failed jail, so I gotta like fucking Google translate the page so I know what the fuck they're talking about. Yeah, out of nowhere, like, okay, now there's some support, some fucking media coverage, and people are starting to talk about giving Gilbert this piece of land so he can bring a sports franchise to Detroit.
I mean, it's all about trying to get the people on your side, right?
Yeah, and getting the demand. Like, if you can get the public to say, give that billionaire the land, that's like a win-win for him, right?
Yeah, you win enough hearts, you make enough promises, you know, you throw out, I'm surprised that's not in there, how many jobs it's going to create.
I'm sure it is.
You know, I mean, you do all those things and you get it in the right order and you listen to your publicists and you say the right buzzwords, you know, and you talk to the right media. And I mean, yeah, why not bring in, you know, another billionaire to try to shore up the fact that
really, you're serious.
You know, you've got, you know, it's not just you and your money and the fact that you already own a franchise. It's another guy and his money and the fact that he already owns a franchise. And, you know, how can those two people fail? It's too big to fail, right?
Yeah. Isn't that like the names and the money behind it? Yeah. It's just, I mean, there's no prestige. There's no way it doesn't work. There's
no way. I mean, the whole world is just, you know, the clouds are made out of cotton candy and all the toilet seats are made out of gold, right? But I mean, yeah, I mean, if you peel it back, you know, it gets smelly quick, you know?
Yeah, if you look at it critically at all.
Yeah.
At all. It seems to get pretty obvious. If you take off the MLS colored glasses,
yeah,
and you look at it for what it is, it's pretty obvious what it was from the beginning. I'm reading the article right now. This isn't just about an MLS stadium. Rossetti said, Rossetti is the designer of the renderings of the new stadium, and the designer of the Ford Field renderings that fucking stole all of our intellectual property and put it in their renderings.
I'm still looking for myself in that bid. I know I'm in
they,
there.
I mean, they used everyone else's images. Like, they literally took our supporters' images, like their faces of them, and plopped them into the rendering. Like, come on, really?
I'm still looking for a fat
fucking intentional.
I'm looking for a fat bearded fuck in there with a kilt on, so I can just I just want to make it my everything. I want to make it, you know, my Facebook page. I want to make
like
it
your profile picture,
pic.
You in the rendering of the Ford Field.
I'll start my own fucking website. I'll have T-shirts made. I mean, I will embrace. Oh, Rossetti, if you're listening, I'll embrace the hell out of myself in that rendering. Please put me in. Damn it.
So Rossetti said, this isn't just about an MLS stadium. It's about a grander vision and one that is composing a sports and entertainment district. Obviously, a Major League Soccer stadium will be the key anchor, but there's going to be multiple uses.
Yeah,
because that's day one. That's what they're saying.
Because they wanted to make the stadium an open air concert venue too, right?
Yeah, they had
other uses.
Yeah, wouldn't just be for soccer. They could put whatever. And not only that, but then the whole actual rendering that they put out initially included skyscrapers and included you know, different retail space. And to me, when I saw them, I'm like, oh, it looks really easy for them to just take out that stadium and either put another building there or like a plaza or a parking structure or something like that. Yeah,
it all comes full circle with the parking structure.
There was very easily replaceable in their initial rendering.
To me, when I looked at it for the first time, I had the opportunity to go to Petco Park in San Diego, baseball park in San Diego. An amazing, amazing place. And that is truly like what that rendering looks like. So you walk in to the park. I mean, it's like a gated community type thing. The restaurants are to your right. You know, it's like Tilt a Kilt and a few other type retail chains and stuff like that. Straight ahead is high-rise apartments that kind of tower over the stadium, so you could literally stand
and you're in the window
and watch a game or sit on the patio and watch a game or the balcony. And then to the right is a small condensed version of like a baseball field. It's like a little league sized Petco Park where kids can play on it.
Yeah.
And there's this large grass-like area where people, you can camp there for the night.
Oh, wow.
You can bring tents.
Fucking cool.
Yeah, it's actually
that's actually way really better. Cool.
I mean, Gilbert's probably listening and, like, taking notes. But, yeah, I mean, you can stay the night in there with your and pitch a tent, if you will. And,
That's like, so California, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and because it's Petco, you can bring your damn dogs in there and whatever you want.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when I looked at it, I'm like, God, that's literally it. I mean, it looks like the Petco Park area. And so, I mean, you know what it is. You know, it's, you know, I want $2,000 of rent, you know, for that entire high rise and $2,500 if it's overlooking this and $2,800 if it's overlooking this. You know, and then, you know, where are these people going to park? So I better build but the bottom four floors probably better be a parking garage. And yeah, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, from the beginning, luckily there's enough like-minded people that see through this kind of crap in the Northern Guard, myself and you, and, you know, enough people that have, you know, watched this Detroit pseudo-resurgence happen where it's just billionaires that are benefiting from everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've watched it, we've seen it, and, you know, it's all going to unravel someday. Everything's going to come to air and going to come to light and who's really benefiting from all this stuff. But
you would hope, yeah.
I mean, and I know a lot of people have strong opinions about the jail and where it's at.
Yeah.
I mean, you look...
We're not like jail advocates.
Yeah, no, we don't... I don't love jail. I mean, you know, I've never spent time in one, but I mean, look at city planning 101.
Yep.
You know, of any major city. I mean, you know, other city I've lived in, Grand Rapids, the jail is right there.
Right in the center of it.
You go to
Chicago.
Chicago. That's a jail. Massive.
It's massive, and it's right in the heart of like the jewelry district.
Yeah, it's like stairs at like a massive conference I had to go to. I was like, oh, there's a jail and there's my conference center. I mean, geographically, and I mean, it needs to be close. I mean, it needs to be
close to services, to services, public transportation, yeah, to the courts,
yeah,
to everything.
So, no, I mean, Northern Guard does not love jail, and I think most of people that, you know, just no urban planning, city planning. I mean,
like, what's best for the people within the city and for the county and the county taxpayers.
I mean, keep in mind, people that don't live in Michigan, there's very sparse like public transportation.
And it's stuff horrible. Like that. I mean, it's really bad.
We are the motor city. Yeah, and
everyone has cars, and you'll like
a fucking
it.
Car.
And your insurance is double, if not quadruple, everywhere else. Yeah.
So I mean. It's a necessary evil. Yes, I mean the jail was put there. The property was obtained.
Planned to be put there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was obtained for a reason, and it's gonna meet a need. Although some people would say, you know, a frivolous need, if you will, to the corner, the gateway to New Detroit and all that stuff. But I mean, call it what you want. I mean, it started out, you know, when things were not going all that well with, like, you know, a bidding process and everything.
Corruption was obviously rampant, whereas now it's not as obviously rampant.
I mean, this whole process started. I mean, that mayor's in jail. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of key things at play as to why that thing is there and why it's moving forward. And the reason that it's called the failed jail and the reason that it's been halted was because the millions and millions of dollars that it was over budget before it was even 20% complete.
Begun to build. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's the entire thing is a giant
debacle. Giant
debacle and a giant stain on the county commissioner and everybody else.
The city, the county, everyone. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Dan and I aren't, we're not, you don't have anything to gain from a jail. you know, neither of us actually give a rat's ass what goes there, but I mean, it needs to be completed. The taxpayers have taken it to that point and have paid, isn't it like $1 million a month to keep that thing? Like,
it's at least that.
Yeah, to keep it from being underwater and maintained and secure.
There's bonds and stuff that have to be paid, and interest and shit that has to be paid on the bond. Yeah, it's a fucking mess.
It's a shit show.
Back to the MLS bid. So, again, the April 27th, 2016, this is where, in my opinion, it starts to become really obvious that they're trying to strong arm the county and the people into giving them the land. This Free Press, Detroit Free Press article mentions the stadium and stadium location is very important and a key part of this plan, said MLS Commissioner Don Garber, adding he quietly visited the site recently. If the unfinished jail site can't be used, it is unlikely that MLS will seriously consider Detroit, Garber and Gilbert both said. Gilbert has also stated this day, if you have a plan B, it distracts from plan A. There really is no plan B. To me, that sounds like, if you want all this to happen, you got to give us the jail site.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like to me. When I read that, and because I watched the press conference, when I heard that, I was like, are you fucking kidding? Like, people believe this? People are listening to this and not being like, ding, 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 like, alarms aren't going off. Like, this guy's trying to strong-arm the county.
You're right.
That's what I got when I first read that.
Yeah,
there's no plan B. It has to be this. If you don't get it, there's no team. Like, that's fucking obvious.
Yeah, let's look at the, what is it, 140 square miles that Detroit is.
Oh, yeah. I think it's, you know, different people say different things, but yeah, it's anywhere from 140 to 200.
But that block and a half or whatever it is.
That's the only place it could possibly be.
And, you know, yeah, I mean, that was strong arm talk. And I mean, if you're going to say that in public, imagine what was said in private.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, do you even bother going to, you know, the Wayne County executive and saying that to his face? Or do you just do it in the
media? Probably just do it in the press conference.
Yeah. And I mean, it kind of worked, though.
It absolutely worked because, as far as we know, as of today, the county is working with Gilbert to build something else there.
Yep.
We already know it's not going to be a stadium.
Right.
Because they said, we're not going to build a stadium there. It's going to be at Ford Field.
Yeah.
So, hey, it worked. Good job.
What they could do is split Ford Field in half. Okay, just...
horizontally.
Listen, just hear me out. They can build year-round. It can be done in a year. The bottom half can be...
It's a really an interesting situation. It already is built.
It's already built.
2,500 construction workers. Yeah, so that press conference, they say it has to be this spot. It can't be anywhere else. If it's anywhere else, it's not. You're not going to get a team.
So they basically took their ball and went home.
Well, the same year, in August of 2016... Tom Gores says to, I believe it was the Free Press, we're not married to the jail site for MLS in Detroit. So that's, what, 4 months later?
Yeah.
They're already starting to backtrack on this. There's no plan B. It can't be anywhere else. If it's not here, we're not going to get a team. They're already backtracking. Not even a year. Four months later, they're starting to plant the seeds for people to accept that it might not be there.
Starting the seeds of doublespeak.
Yeah. Starting the seeds of doublespeak. And then, so that brings us to, I didn't pull it up, I don't remember the date, but it was probably like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I got a message from someone saying there's going to be a press conference. It's involving something to do with soccer in Detroit. We don't know more than that.
Right.
You'll want to listen. We also got a message from someone else that said something very similar to that.
Yeah.
And we didn't really know what it was. We were trying to piece together the clues of what both people told us. We didn't really know what it was going to be. And then what it ended up being was the billionaires decided that they don't need to build a stadium.
Yep.
They're going to play at Ford Field and bring in a third billionaire.
Yes.
The Fords. What was your initial reaction when you heard that?
Of course they are. Honestly, it just finished the triangle of suck of this entire situation.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about, you know, people that have just endless pull, and, you know, they've been given the world as far as tax cuts, and, you know, they've been given tax money to build their play toys.
Their empire.
Yeah, to build their empire. And, you know, they're just, of course they're going to approach it. Of course they are.
Yeah.
You know, because there is no viable second, you know. There, I mean, I guess there is, but...
They're not going to do it.
Yeah, they're not going to do it. And
because they were never planning on doing that to begin with.
And the only thing that exists, I mean, on any level, has already been bought by this fourth tier, you know, scummy-looking crowd of of supporters that raised it themselves. And, you know, so now that's off the table. So,
yeah.
You know... Like I said, I mean, you can, where can you put it? You know,
yeah.
Like you can scratch your head all day and think about, oh, we could ground up here.
I mean,
ask anybody who's got anything with city planning or anything like that.
Yeah.
We have plenty of them in our section that have a lot of opinions on this. You know, you can look at the highway structure, which our highway structure is amazing
and
way too big.
That's the one good thing about Detroit is it was very fast to get anywhere
and it was
if
built
you have
for
a car.
Cars. Yeah, it was built for cars. And, you know, I mean, it could be put in so many different places, but, of course they're going to.
At the end of the day, it was never Yeah. And in my opinion, it was never about that.
You got the Illiches in bed with Goris now.
Yeah.
With, you know, sharing the pizzerina. And you've got, well, I mean, you might as well, you know, have everybody else sharing everything else. You know, so it's kind of pathetic. You know, it's just a sign of the times, you know, that they're all just going to stick together and make each other more wealthy, you know, based off of their pull with this certain politician or who already acquires this land. Well, you're 80% complete on building this and I can sell you the other 20 and let's
Work something out.
We'll work something out. But can my team play there too? Yeah. And I'll give you a discount on that. And it's just like, oh, barf, you know, like crying out loud.
Fucking bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, and I've seen the tweets and all the people that have opinions on how soccer is going to look in Ford Field and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to, like, you know, I know that it got re-turfed, what, last year?
Yeah, they spent a ton of money renovating it.
It got re-turfed, and now it's the same turf that the Sounders play on and blah, blah, blah plays on. You know, because initially my whole thing was, I've seen soccer at Ford Field.
It was not great.
It was not great. And, you know, they only filled, I mean, for the women's national team.
It's 24
against
something.
China. Right? It was China, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 24,000 people, which in that place looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just empty and cavernous, and it looks really fucking bad.
I mean, as loud as we are and as much, you know, energy we put into that game, I mean, I know people that were on the other side of it. You know, I mean, there was maybe only 60, 70 NGS at that game, and we were the loud ones, and you know, we were pretty fired up and pretty drunk. And I mean, as much as we put into it, we could just hear it echoing back at us. Like, nobody else was like into it. I was like, God, this sucks.
Terrible atmosphere.
I mean, we were really just singing to each other at that point. I mean, and you know, moms everywhere are telling us to shut up. And I mean, it's like, or can I touch your drum kind of questions. It's like, come on. But I mean, it was too narrow. I mean, the renderings make it look like way wider than it is. But I mean, I remember just being there, being no room between the 18 and the touchline or the sidelines.
Yeah, there's no room.
And I mean, it's shorter too, because I mean, you know, you got to drop a goal in there, and those 5 foot brick walls are very forgiving.
No. You
know?
You can't move them.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at that, I mean, To me, it was a safety issue, too. Oh, I mean, I'm the kind of person that thinks, you know, the field stops, you know, and I'm going to need 15 yards past that for throw-ins and slide tackles and tumbles and everything else, and just to be safe. And I honestly, like, when I looked at that, I'm like, I go, I really hope none of these girls or, like, none of these pro players or none of these people, you know, get, you know, try to save their footing to spare themselves of hitting the brick wall and actually hit the fucking brick wall. I mean, that's not a forgiving surface. And, you know, it was as horrible as an atmosphere as I've seen. And I watched a game in the fucking Silverdome, so I should know.
It was worse.
It was worse.
It was worse than the Silverdome.
With asbestos flying around.
So do you think that the move to Ford Field, and for the last, we're already over an hour, but for the last couple minutes, I'm going to ask a couple questions.
Yes.
Do you think that the move to the change in plans for the MLS X Detroit bid, has it affected the bid, do you think? Do you think, does it matter?
I think it killed the bid.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a very optimistic person, but just knowing how many of these other communities are just, you know, clamoring.
Pouring their wallets out.
Yeah, and meeting Garber at his, right the outside tarmac of his PJs. You know, I mean, it's like, what are you doing there? Like, come on. And, you know, I mean, I've never, you know, I would have never clamored for a team like that in my life.
No.
But we're also Detroit, and we build things on our own.
There's that mentality where we don't really expect or even want things handed to us.
No, don't do it.
We work and create what we want.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, you know, an entire city of hardworking, you know, artists, hardworking everything.
Yeah.
And we don't like it being handed to us. And, you know, it just shows that Goris doesn't know the city at its core. Gilbert doesn't know the city at its core, you know, of, you know, what the potential of this city is and what the potential of Detroit City is. Detroit City FC, in that.
I would agree. They kind of, there was a right way that they could have done this.
Yep.
And if they were serious about it, and they did not do it that way, and it really seemed like they had no intention of doing it that way. There's, like we've been talking about, there's a built-in, ready-to-go group of people that are willing to do whatever it takes for their club, and they could have involved that from day one. And honestly, if they were serious about it, they should have. So that actually kind of then brings me to a question that we got asked from Abram from Mobile, Alabama. And he asks, if Gilbert buys, hypothetically, if Gilbert buys the DCFC name rights, whatever, from DCFC, would you be pissed? Would you support it? Or would you support it? Or would it be a little of both?
Yeah, I'd be pissed. Abram. Yes, I would be pissed. I would be pissed, but I would support my team. I mean, it would be a bastardization of my team, obviously.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a club.
Yeah, it wouldn't be my... It wouldn't be how I wanted it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're... If our owners somehow come up with that, you know, magical number and somebody writes on that check and they're gone, I would hope it was done the right way, but I'm sure that those guys have been advised on how to do it the right way.
Yeah.
But they're listening to the wrong people. And I know exactly who they're listening to.
Of course.
And
we mentioned them already.
Yep. They know exactly who... I know exactly who they're listening to. And it is not serving their purpose right at all.
Yeah.
And I expected it not to serve their purpose because this person has been a complete failure in doing anything soccer worthy in this country for decades. So I feel almost comfortable knowing that they keep reaching out to this guy because I know everything he's touched has turned to shit. And so... Because of this person, I almost feel like,
relieved.
I'm like, as soon as I knew he was involved in, like, you know, and, you know, strategizing with them and giving them, like, pointers, I'm like, oh, my God, thank goodness. This guy has been a failure since I've been on this planet as far as promoting and moving soccer forward.
Yeah.
let's be completely honest. I mean, I would be remiss if I said I wouldn't be there. I would be there for my club.
Yeah. For as long as you were allowed to be.
Yep.
Before you got kicked out.
Oh, man. Banned. I mean,
like, I think it would actually be a contest to see who could get kicked out and banned the fastest and probably also the most creatively and probably the most violently. Like, any category of being kicked out and banned from that place, we would try to, you know, beat the record of it.
If NGS's initial foray into Ford Field for a soccer game was any sort of indication of what's in our future, it would be bad.
Yeah.
It would be bad. We wouldn't make it through security. I mean, it would be the Groucho Marx sunglasses type situation in order to get into that place. I mean, Gene's already got stuff lined up as far as wigs or whatever else that
can
get
in there. Oh, yeah, he's got a whole wardrobe.
And Padre's got more than one, so that would help at least get me in. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's no way we're getting in there. I mean, the Butcher Brothers, you, Drew, you know, I mean, anybody that is, like, a recognizable part of the Northern Guard would be on a list submitted. Yeah. You know, our names would probably be banned from minute one. And then that's when, like, you know, the Rebel Alliance would have to come along. You know what I mean? Because, you know, there's plenty, you know, we met the guys 2 years ago from, you know, FC United of Manchester that kind of went, you know, went punk football when their stuff got too commercialized.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, I mean, the second I get banned, like, you're going to regret it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you took my club away and you put them in the big show and you bastardized it and you made it what, made it so I can't enjoy it. Just
everything that it wasn't supposed to be.
Oh my God, that's going to be the worst mistake you ever made.
Yeah.
Cause if you think my voice is, you know, loud now and rowdy now, it's going to get that much worse. And I mean, luckily, you know, for us, the soccer community voices are all on the US are kind of, you know, we're a lot more melded than we used to be.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, we take up arms with
people with similar ideals and beliefs. And there's definitely a growing community of people that see the issues that are happening.
Yeah. And I mean, as soon as everything started happening with Columbus too, it was like, you know what, there's been nobody that's, you know, I've said it multiple times, there's been nobody that's been more vocal about us being whiny crybabies than
Columbus
Crew supporters. Yeah. You know, like when
about whining about the problems with the MLS model how we didn't want to be a part of that. We've gotten the most shit from those fans.
They've been the most vocal against us. And honestly, it was like, I don't want to see anybody lose their club, but it's like,
kind of had a comment.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have just the fucking blinders on, you know what I mean?
They drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I my heart goes out to those guys. I mean, there's some
really good guys. Like, it's not everyone there, but enough of them to really kind of make me not feel as bad as I would have if it was someone else.
And I mean, you know, but I mean, not all the owners in the MLS are like that. You know?
Yeah. Oh, no, it could happen to anyone. Yeah. And that's really the thing that bothers me about it, because the only reason why people are speaking up and saying save the Crew is because people are looking out for their own best interests. If it can happen to the Crew, it can happen to any one of those teams. Any one of those supporters teams can be moved right out from underneath them, and they have no say in the matter. Doesn't matter if they show up to games or not, if that's ultimately what the franchise operator wants to do. And the other owners, I shouldn't say owners, operators, decide is okay, then it's going to happen. And that's like, that's so, why would you want to be a part of that? Makes no sense.
What I would ultimately love to see, I mean, like I said, I don't want to see anybody lose their club, but I mean, it just looks like an inevitability at this point.
Yeah. Oh yeah. All this shit happening.
But what I would like to see for those guys happen, those guys that have been passionate about their club for 20 plus years, that have, just like me, probably a closet full of, you know, supporter gear.
Yeah.
And have put blood, sweat, and tears into this club and followed them around and, you know, spent their vacation money and their family time supporting their club. I mean, what I'd like to see, obviously, for them is to do what FC United of Manchester did.
Yeah.
You know, just punk it out. Like, come to the fourth division.
They have an opportunity. If anything, they have an opportunity from this whole situation.
Absolutely.
And to create something which is exactly what they want.
Yep. I mean,
you have to do the work. That's like, the big thing.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it locally here in Michigan. Get 10 owners if you need to make a club happen. I mean, look at Ann Arbor, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they aren't even a fucking...
What are they, 50, two dozen?
I don't know, 50? I don't even know. It's every year.
Everyone chipped in $100 at a poker game.
It's easy to start their own club. And there's a ton of people doing it. And there's even, like, guides are being, like, fucking crowdsourced on how to start a lower division soccer club. So if there's any Crew fans listening to this, like, you're being given an opportunity if the team does move. And one way to look at it is like, oh, fuck, you know, we got fucked over, fuck everything, I don't want to be involved with soccer anymore. Or you could look at it positively and look at it as an opportunity and create the club you wanted to have all along.
Yeah, where you get to vote at everything the club does. I mean, just like...
Yeah, it's we make fun of support our own clubs, but like the reality is that's what you guys could do.
Yeah. Just load it up. I mean, find a place to play. And I mean, you know, you have, like I said, 20 years worth of people that are loyal to that club that now need an outlet.
That know how to do it.
And need an outlet.
Yeah.
You know, and you can do things the way that you want to do.
Yeah, that's me, that's like, that's awesome. Yeah. Like, that'd be great.
And just don't shit on my club anymore when you do it.
Yeah, realize that. maybe we aren't just assholes. Yeah. I mean, we are, but
yeah, but
we kind of know what we're talking about. It's that perspective we have from being on the outside that it's obvious to us kind of what's going down.
We're not wrong a lot.
It's not good for our egos, but no, we're really not wrong a lot. Any last things you want to talk about, mention MLS related or not?
No, I mean, just fuck MLS.
Seriously.
We don't need it. And, you know, our future is bright without you.
Yeah.
You know, and with the turbulent times that are going on with soccer right now, I still, you know, to this day, to feel like our chances are way better, you know, with the kind of shit soup that's out there than jumping in bed with a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, we're good. Danny Gilbert, leave us alone. Put me in your renderings, for fuck's sake. Not that ugly. I take that back.
On that note, we're going to end it. We're at 1:15, exactly about how long I thought it would take. If you guys have stayed and listened the entire time, thank you. I'm sure Ken thanks you for your listening and your time.
Sorry, my voice is so low. It's probably screwing up.
Yeah, they're blowing out the speakers and people's headphones and stuff. So we got a big sale coming up at the end of November. We're going to have a ton of new merch. You guys will definitely want to save up for that because we're going to have some stuff that we think is going to be pretty popular, and the club just put out that they're gonna have a shit ton of new merch for the holidays. So the best way to support your club and your support group is to buy shit, so make sure you guys are ready for that. As always, Ken, this has been awesome fun. I love talking to you. I swear I learn something new every time I talk to you. So thanks for coming.
No, thanks for the
thanks for spending a couple hours.
Thanks for the chicken shawarma.
Oh yeah, I had to get the mayor of Dearborn chicken shawarma.
Two E's. Yeah,
yeah, Dearborn.
Dearborn.
Yeah, so for sure, and hope to have you back soon. Hopefully, with your brother in tow, and then we can really get this party started.
I don't know if anybody's ready for that.
I don't know. I couldn't start with that.
We'll work on the big guy. So. Usually, I mean, there's tears involved if the two of us are together. So just prepare yourself for that.
Tears of joy and anger and pain.
Pain, a lot of pain.
So thank you again. Thank you for listening. This is Dion DeGennaro. You can find me on Twitter at TheDukeNGS. Ken, how can we find you on Twitter?
I am at KiltedKen, two L's. Don't fuck that up. There actually is a Kilted Ken out there with one L.
Oh, I feel bad for that person.
That poor fucking guy. And sometimes people send him instant messages and stuff, and he's been nice enough to forward me stuff.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So us Kens are, we're good people. But
Ken's got to stick together.
Yeah, so I have two L's. Don't fuck it up.
Cool. Thanks, guys, and we'll be talking to you again soon. Have a great night. Fuck Ohio.
Fuck Ohio.